Do you ever look at other creatives on your Instagram feed and wonder how the heck they are doing it? Do you ever find yourself daydreaming about what it must look like to be in the position of a successful artist and what you could do if you had all of their knowledge and experience? Or do you think, man, I wish I just knew what strategies these illustrators and artists and makers who have huge audiences and engaged audiences and are getting all these sales and customers and clients have so that I could do that too? Well, I wanted to know those things too, and I knew that you might want to know those and that the answers to those questions would be so, so valuable. And so to celebrate what this episode is, which is episode 100 of Brand Your Passion, which is so wild, but to celebrate episode 100, I wanted to do something special. So I brought together four previous guests of Brand Your Passion to hear what they have been doing that has worked for them to engage their audience, get clients, get customers, get opportunities, all of those good things, what they are focusing on right now to continue to do that, and what they are going to be doing moving into 2024 to market and grow and build their creative businesses next year, so that you can find out what is working for successful artists right now and what you can do to do the same for your creative business. So if you are ready to learn those things and get inspired by four incredible artists, then let's dive in and listen and hear from Maya Sain, Renata Payton, Whitney Manny, and Penelope Wickman, and let's get into it. Hello and welcome to Brand Your Passion, the show that helps you turn the thing you love the most into something that people know and love you for. I'm your host, Holly Arnett, the brand coach for creatives, and I'm on a mission to make the world a more creative place, one brand at a time. If you're ready to get more eyes on your work, more dollars in your pocket, and more creativity in your life, you're in the right place. Welcome. Let's brand your passion.
Hello, hello. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to the live 100th episode of Brand Your Passion. Thanks for coming to hang out with us and to celebrate with us and to learn from these incredible, incredible creatives. I'm just going to give us a little introduction as people are coming in. People will just keep on rolling. So we will just on introducing and chatting, and then we'll get into the meat of it as people are rolling in. As a just quick welcome, I would love to know, have you listened to Brand Your Passion before? A quick vote in the chat, let me know. Have you listened before, or is this your first time? Give us a quick press yes if you've listened before, or press this is my first time if listening live. This is your first time listening to Brand Your Passion. I'm going to press yes, I've listened before. Someone's listening for the first time to the live 100th Yay! Episode. That's amazing. Another one, this is my first time. I love that. What a great first episode. Right. I love that. Yeah, I love that. Well, you have chosen the best episode to start off with. And if you have listened to before, thank you so much for listening before and for continuing to listen and celebrating with us on this 100th episode. I'm so excited to have everybody here today for this exciting celebration. And you are here today joined by some incredible creatives. I am so excited to introduce them all to you today. Firstly, I'll introduce myself. My name is Holly Arnett. My pronouns are she, her, and I am the host of Brand Your Passion, and I'm also the founder, CEO, person of Maker and Moxie, and I'm all about helping creatives, artists, makers just like you to brand your passion. And so that's what my podcast is all about. And I've interviewed these incredible creatives and many more on the podcast, but let me dive in and introduce these wonderful ones. So the first incredible person is Maya Sain. Maya is an illustrator and designer whose work focuses on the empowerment of minorities. Maya has collaborated with incredible brands and organizations, and their work discusses discusses important topics such as racial injustice, PCOS, mindfulness, saving the bees, and so much more. And I'm wearing a Maya t-shirt today. So
you're the best.
So that's Maya. Then we have Whitney. Oh, and you can also listen to Maya's whole episode in episode 11 of Brand Your Passion if you want to hear more about the story. Then we have Whitney. Whitney Manny is a fashion and textile designer from Kansas City with a BFA in fibers and a desire to create art through her fashion, something she is most definitely achieving with her independent label, Whitney Manny. She's all about creating a narrative between color and pattern, which is a signature of her work. Or as Whitney puts it, her job isn't done until everybody in the world believes that fashion is art. So everybody say hi to Whitney. Yeah, send some fire emojis. And Whitney's episode is episode 58. So if you want to check out Whitney's whole episode, you can listen to episode 58 of Brand Your Passion. Then we have Renata, also known as Grimren. That's how you will find Grimren on the internet, is a Melbourne-based indie artist who is all about fun creatures and punchy color palettes. You can see her messing around with paint pens, yarn, wood carving, and the list goes on. Basically, if it is vibrant and fun, then Renata is in. And I talked to Renata about lots of things and found out how she's built massive followers of followers, and she has an amazing art style and a kick-ass brand. So you can listen to Renata in episode 66 of Brand Your Passion. That is Renata. Everybody say hi to Renata. And then last but not least at all, we have Penelope Wickman, who is the founder of Clammy Heart, an art business where everything is embroidered in-house in their Portland studio. They have two multi-needle and two single-needle machines and a team of four that work super hard to create apparel and package it with love and care. And they create the most incredible embroidered, wonderful apparel creations that I just want to adorn my whole body all of the time. So everybody say hi to Penelope. Rightio, everybody. That is the incredible creatives that we are going to get to learn from today. So I'm excited to dive in. My first question that I would love to learn a lot about is how things have changed for these artists since we last spoke about how we branded your passion. So I would love to hear first from Maya, because I spoke to Maya the longest time ago. Like I said, we spoke on episode 11. So we are now episode 100. So it's been a couple of years now since we spoke. So how have things changed in a couple of years for you since, in terms of branding your passion? How has your brand, your business changed in the last couple of years?
Honestly, my brand has this made most dramatic turns. I don't know how to explain it. So the last time, or actually when we did the episode together, just before I started to really put my work really into the internet, and since this being picked up by an agent and working with like an illustrator agency, and just pretty much using my practices, my work to share not only the messaging that I just really care about, but I've been collaborating with different organizations, not only this, but people all over the US and internationally. So since I think it was like 2020.
Yeah.
Things have dramatically happened for the better. My business has grown, but also just like I've been challenging my business to kind of explore new things that I just honestly had no idea I would be doing today. So I was going to just stick to, just doing like flat art and like, people, but that transformed to, not only doing like protests and campaigns for like socialness, but getting to design, apparel, girls, just a whole bunch of product design, just a whole bunch of different mediums that, again, like I just wasn't expecting. So we can talk about that later and we just keep it moving. I don't want to like talk too much.
Yeah. But it's all exciting. Yeah, I've seen over the last year or so that you've done things like wrapping paper, you've done like NIMS packaging, like so many different unique things. Super cool. So I love that. Very exciting. And I would love to hear more about, especially more about all the like challenging yourself. And I know you've been doing a lot of kind of like deep work with yourself about like what showing up looks like and who you are and what that's like. So I'm going to come back to that. I want to know more about that. I'll come back to you, but thank you so much. Put a pin in there. Okay, so Whitney, tell me a bit about what has changed for you in the last couple of years or year or so since we...
Yeah, I think that was that last year?
Yeah.
I don't know. I was, when you emailed the questions, I was like, man, what have I been doing? I don't know. I can wrap that for a second. But no, it's been all good. I've been able to hire a part-time assistant this year. She had been interning for me for the past few summers. So that's been a big leap because payroll ain't no joke. You know, you got to get up, get out there. So it's been amazing. I have my second tier RuPaul's Drag Race All-Star season.
Yeah, I saw that.
And have been able to do a lot more work and really interesting to continue to feel like I'm still like a teenager and unprecedented managing a business. But you know, going through the ebbs and flows of that and still trying to be creative at the same time. Yeah.
For sure. I definitely feel as we are trying to level up as creatives, there's a lot of things that we need to do in order to level up, but that comes with so many more challenges and so many more things like we have to become like a new person or a new version of ourselves to enable ourselves to do that. And so to be able to like hire someone, it's like, okay, well, I need to become like a leader now or a manager, or I need to be able to do that, and I need to learn about payroll and all of those things and man, all of those things. So incredible that you've been able to do that, and being able to continue to do the TV placements and all of those things is so cool. So I love that. So exciting. And I'm again writing down notes because I want to come to so many of those things. So I love that. Okay. I want to hear from Penelope. Tell me a bit about what is going on for you lately.
Yeah. I mean, we just talked a few months ago. So
Stuff,
but let's see. So I have been contracted to do some projects. Which has been really great. Basically, since we have all of this embroidery equipment and studio space, Loie's working for me, we've been able to do some big stuff. Like we are working on a collab for the 40th anniversary of a book series by the author Tamora Pierce, which is super cool. I've actually not read her books, but a lot of people have told me that they like Shape Fantasy series. So we're working on a bunch of embroidered stuff for them. And I've been working on embroidering some stuff for some other artists, some as well. Let's see, we're opening potentially a retail store soon. Portland. We have some items up for at a local store. And the owner of the store is planning on transitioning it from a consignment boutique to more of an artist collective. So Lemmyheart will be one of 10 brands sort of sharing this space, and we'll have a more permanent fixture for all of our goods to be displayed, which is really exciting. I'm so about that. And basically we've been doing some social outreach as well, donating for Palestine. doing donation drives, things like that. Yeah,
incredible. Yeah, you've been doing such a great job in raising money and awareness and stuff for all of that. I have loved, and I think doing the having the retail shop is so exciting. I think that's, you know, big goals for so many artists, and to see someone like you doing that is so inspiring. So I think there'll be people, you know, watching and listening who will be like, oh my god, I want to hear so much more about that. So I'm so excited to hear a lot about it. That's awesome. Okay, incredible. Well, I'm going to come back to so many of those things. Mm-hmm. So let me hear from Renata, and we'll come back. Okay, tell me about what has been going on for you. Again, we only spoke not too long ago.
But, I think that was what, like June, July or something? So 2 months at this point. But I did my largest artist market ever, basically the largest kind of art and design market, Finders Keepers. Which, huge undertaking, but was incredibly worthwhile. Really kind of elevated my own displays, my scope and everything. So that was a huge learning experience and very exciting. I've also started to work in kind of consignment in retail spaces as well. I've set up my first retail display, which has also been going quite well. I'm gonna have to work on my second restock for that about a month. Exciting and cool. But yeah, those are the two big ones. Otherwise, it's just been, you know, a constant, like, keep up with shop updates, keep up online presence, personally moved house, So yeah, personally, professionally, she's going good.
Yes. Yeah, you did a big, like, shop update too, not too long ago.
Huge.
Yeah, huge. So that's a taking in itself. So yeah, well done on that. And I remember seeing that you got that place in that shop as well. So those things are all exciting, and I love that. Okay, well, I just personally am so excited to just get an update from all of you. So that was my sort of like, what's going on? I want to know. And also just a little teaser for everybody listening of like, okay, things that we might talk about right now, because I think there's so many exciting things to dive into. You know, we've already talked about things or had some hints about things like, you know, digging deep into who you are and how you can show up, talking about hiring, collaborating with people on pieces of work, opening retail stores, working on consignment. Like, these are all bits that we could dive into. So those very exciting things. Maybe we could start off with Maya, and then we could all talk about this topic. I think I'd be interested to hear about what you have been working on and how you have been going about this idea of digging into and figuring out like who you are and how you show up, and what's been going on in that kind of space, and what you've been thinking and processing.
Pretty much. I'm just gonna do 2020 to now. So in general. I just, these past couple of years, you know, obviously knowing my interests in my work, like I wanna talk about marginalized groups of folk and, you know, really show and just share very uplifting story. More importantly, that really started to dig deeper, and I just really started to I don't know how to explain it. I just really started digging into things I really care about. So not really like in a selfish way, like what are my interests and that per se, but like my values and like, you know, things that I care about, especially during these times, like ever since the world has opened back up, just been facing a whole bunch of different topics and situations. On a personal aspect collectively. So my work has been really reflective of these things I've kind of been along the way. A lot of the times, you know, with me doing children's books, number one, I never thought that I would have a children's book. You know, it just, when you kind of do the work and you're paying attention to your community and also just really noticing like, hey, these are things I care about. For me, I realized in Memphis, our rates were so low. About 60% of our population has the level of the reading of a sixth or seventh grader. So I don't know, things like that makes me want to move and, you know, get things done, because I just want kids and honestly people to have material that they're interested in and just help with learning and just have people just open to different things that they can experience in the world. And that's just based on taking the time to, you know, when I was working and, you know, we talked about it before, working while dealing with mental health issues and then overcoming it and really, you know, just finding yourself and really getting back to the things you love and figuring out, like, you know, what, and that just changes the way that you project your whole journey, really. And honestly, the steps that you take towards the main goal, we'll get back into that. But it's just been awesome just to kind of rediscover myself and picking up person, just honestly, whatever that feels fulfilling, and not only contribute back to myself, but more so contribute to others and like people as a collective. It's just been really awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so how have you navigated, I guess, sharing that or not sharing that on social media while you figure that out? And then when you figured it out, then yeah, getting back into like, okay, now I'm ready to, yeah, be more visible, right? Or yeah, then share for my full self back on social media.
Yes, like for me, I'm still trying to get better at that. I feel like I'm messed at that, honestly, just because I think now the game has changed with Reels. I feel like Reels have been really, I wouldn't say be overgiving, but it's just like I feel pressured to share every second of my life. And so I just have to step back with that, just because as Reels started to make their, you know, the come up in social media during that time, I just had very crucial things happening in my life. You know, I've had loved ones obviously discriminate against me because of, you know, just who I am, you know, sexy, gender, all these things. It's just, you know, things I've been trying to, you know, figuring, it's a journey. So it's just kind of like, some things, because sometimes and a lot of times I would be scared to share those things. It's kind of a thing I've been fighting recently. That's why you kind of been seeing the slowdown on social media, because like at a certain point I'm like, am I oversharing? Is this healthy? And that's just because me taking therapy at one point, I was like, what's a healthy amount of like transparency as a creator? Because to me, I don't mind, like I really don't mind sharing my business and like, hey, I'm going through this thing. This is how I'm going through it. This is how I feel. That's amazing. But giving so like that much at a constant high rate, it just, to me, it was just overwhelming. And I really had to just, again, governing myself, understand new boundaries professionally. It was just a thing that had to be kind of redefined. And I'm still trying to figure that out, especially right now with me rebranding my brand right now, and just like how I want to come back with the content that I'm inspired to do now. I'm like, oh, but like, let's do this healthy, you know? So
yeah,
figuring it out.
That's great. Yeah, that's good. And so I would love from the rest of you, the other three, any of your thoughts on the same topic, I guess, like, yeah, having healthy boundaries with social media, or how do you, I guess everybody wants to be quote unquote authentic on social media. That's the view, be authentic and share your personality on social media so that people know you and they connect with you and engage with you while still maintaining a level of boundaries and healthy separation in you and your audience, or you and your social media. And being able to find that balance and find who you are and how you maintain that balance. Any thought?
I think for me, I'm kind of a little bit of a weirdo. I kind of like it in a way. But you turn to the person who thought she was going to have a show on MTV. Like, you know, 13-year-old Wit yeah. is thriving. I actually really do enjoy it. And I think I enjoyed a lot only because I wasn't able to see the process of what it meant to become a fashion designer and an artist that owns a business. And so to me, it's kind of like a way to give back almost, because if I can document all of this, first of all, it helps me kind of see how far I've come. So those moments where I have imposter syndrome, where I'm like, oh, I didn't really do nothing, I can scroll back a few posts and I can be like, well, no, wait a minute. You did, and you are doing that. You're going to keep it up too. But also, in a way, it's a good source of accountability for me. It has been a great way to be held accountable by other artist peers. I don't show up on main feed a lot for either of my platforms, but I do in stories. Mm-hmm. I do my clocked in story every single day. And I've had a lot of fans join in on that too. And that's been really cool to see how people show up and show out for that. And also, I am very honest about, like, Sia is a job. And I think that kind of helps me separate taking it personal. I don't really allow myself to take it personal because I just know it's a part of the job. I know that this is a free tool. I got a lot of more time than I do money. So what's the best way that I can do this that makes the most sense for me? And if that's me clocking in, what outfit am I wearing today? You know, just little things like that and discuss happening within the community, in like short little bites, then I'm gonna do that. And just try to have as much fun with it as possible, because at the end of the day, it's all curated, you know, no matter how authentic you are being, there's still a level of curation to it. So, you know, just try to be as much of yourself as possible.
For sure. Renata, Penelope, any other thoughts?
I have like my own personal thoughts, just kind of from, I guess, a slightly different angle. I grew up as a very like introverted kid who, you know, would hate doing like oral presentations at school. So was a social media presence, artist, whatever you want to call it, it was definitely not on this. Definitely, I would say, has been a learning experience. Sharing to the extent that is made of, you know, people in our space. You see people, you know, saying that you need to share your art, you need to share yourself, you need to kind of, you know, every day connect with your audience in a personal and kind of more intimate way than here's my latest art, here's my latest piece. And I think it has to be a discussion between your audience and yourself on maybe like what you're most comfortable with and, you know, what you're actively to share and discuss. I don't personally mind sharing a lot of, you know, what I do and what I personally am interested in. I grew up on like online forums and stuff. So, you know, I've been chatting on like Gaia Online and like DeviantArt since I was like 12. It's like, it's an old hat at this point. But at the same time, you kind of need to check in with yourself, make sure that you are kind of like Whitney said, you know, you can't be 100% authentic when you're curating, but at least, have that check in with yourself and make sure that you feel good about what you're sharing. You're being, you know, as true to yourself as what you can manage with, you know, watching everything that you share. And sometimes that can involve, you know, a little bit of oversharing, can involve, you know, stepping back for your own mental and emotional well-being. And I think as long as you have that discussion with your audience, and if you need to take that step back, or if you need to set up a boundary, because, you know, boundaries can sometimes be accidentally crossed very easily in these types of spaces, just as long as you communicate and, you know, you're for the people who are following along with you, I think, and your audience would appreciate that more than, you know, inauthentically just soldiering on and trying to battle through this kind of weird experience that no one really knows how to do at the end of the day. I think that's most important.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Penelope, any thoughts?
Honestly, I think you guys all covered it. I agree with a lot of what was said. Yeah. I think that for me, like the struggle that I have sometimes with social media is just like with reels and videos, I think that the sort of like what I do in a day type thing is very popular right now, but I spend most of my day doing very uninteresting and unvideoable things. So
yeah,
sometimes I have to like piece together like a lot of different days, for example. And I don't really like doing voiceovers. It makes me very nervous. Like when I sit down to record a voiceover, like my heart starts pounding and I'm like, I have to go sit in like a room by myself to me, like do a voiceover. Right. Because it's very embarrassing. Mm-hmm. but yeah, I feel like that type of content right now is very popular with like a bunch of clips of people and they like voice it over and stuff. And I've tried, but I don't know. I don't know if it's for me. It's like trying to follow trends, I guess, is important. But also if you feel like you can't, then it's like there will be a new trend at some point that fits your niche better.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. The trends come and the trends go. That's a comforting thought. Yeah. So I would love to know kind of on that theme, I guess, what has been working for any of you in terms of social media? What have you found for engaging with your audience, getting sales, getting clients? Like, yeah, what have you found recently that has been working? Any tips or tricks for the audience or these that you found that have been working? Well, not even, doesn't have to be in terms of social media, just marketing in general. What have you found that has been?
I would just personally, I've been trying to do, you know, a few more markets, and I found that, you know, physically showing up in a space has been really helpful for me. My online store is always, you know, always present. It's always kind of ticking along in the background, but kind of actively putting myself out there and being in a space where people, you know, like people are actively going to potentially spend a little bit of money, look for some, you know, like in art prints or, you know, content like that. I found that to be a cool thing to like, you know, act. Otherwise, just being present in stories, just kind of like, it doesn't have to be huge things, just kind of, you know, a little thing here and there, reminding people that you exist, reminding people, because, you know, attention spans, everyone's buying for people's attention these days. So I think, you know, a big gigantic effort doesn't always need to be made. It can just be a little like, hey guys, got a new sticker in, just like, hey, here's this little thing that I made, it's around if you need it. Yeah, just being around and available is what I've been trying to do.
Yeah, I love that. I think that I was just going to say, yeah, I think that people obviously always think about social media and being online, but I always try to remember that like physical things are a very helpful thing to do also. Like even if you're not, yeah, doing markets, which is a very helpful thing, but don't forget about like print marketing or like going to networking. It's like obviously we all forgot about that and we couldn't do that for a long time. but like we can do that again. We can go to maybe like a networking drinks, or we could go to like a art gallery opening or a whatever and maybe meet some people. And there are so many things that you can do in person or like in print or other things outside of social media that are important to remember also. Sorry whoever I interrupted.
I know you did. I was gonna say too, and then kind of thinking of media bigger than just social media, because like for me, leveraging like, you know, being able to go on the news or be in the paper or you know, any of the art magazines in KC definitely helps. It also gives you a level of like sheen and professionalism, because people is like, oh, this is, you're in the da, 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 da. Like, yeah, you know, like that, being up my press list over the years has definitely been helpful. And then that gives me even more things. That's the easy thing to share, you know, online, like, okay, I'm going to be in the paper this week, you know, what thing, even being able to be on podcasts and, just knowing when to bridge other people's platforms that align with yours, to kind of create something bigger, and just that idea of showing up where your audience is, because it's very easy to just scroll and doom scroll, especially on TikTok or Instagram. And so I think it's kind of like unique when an artist can show up in a different space that's media based, and it's not just like we try attention within the first 3 seconds of a reel or a TikTok. You're able to have a bigger and more elevated conversation elsewhere.
Yeah, I use Whitney as a shiny example always. Is someone so good at press. And I'm getting all now Whitney's press page on her website.
And I haven't updated it since March. So
so many more since then. But yeah, such a good reminder, because yeah, just getting, like you said, in newspapers, magazines, is such a smart thing to do. Yeah, so everybody take a book. Such a good lesson. Maya, Penelope, anything that's been working for you for clients reaching your audience?
I'll go first. For me, pretty much, I've been kind of like the same with everyone else. I've been really doing a lot of networking and just using press and just getting connected with people just to see like, hey, like, you know, let's have some, you know, just chats, or if we can get on a podcast and just genuinely just talk about certain conversations or just anything, just collaborate in a fun sense, or just in a way that together we can really push something, you know, like the same mission or just purpose in a stronger sense. Because a lot of times, like, or what I've seen before is like, I'll be like, oh wow, I really wish I could do this thing with whoever, and then I'll just be, you know, on social media, obviously on different pages or whatever, engaging with other people, and then at some point I'll just meet somebody, I'm like, oh, I like their stuff, they're really cool, I just would love to get to know more about them. It doesn't have to be about the work. I'm like, I want to get to know about this person and to see, like, you know, what they're about. And a lot of times that's kind of how I've like really connected with people online, offline, just generally just like asking people questions like, hey, like, what are you into? Because I find very random facts about people and I'm like, that's amazing. And it's just going on and seeing if, you know, if it does lead to professional, you know, like, how can we collaborate together? What does that look like? More so like, with me with rebranding right now, it's awesome to see how word of mouth and also just social media engage from like my long-lasting like followers. They have like shared my stuff and here's these things. So it's been really great just to see how me just generally like sharing and just connect people I've just been meeting on a day-to-day basis, how that's helped my platform just grow and organically like made me feel more confident about where my direction of my business is going. Cause I'm telling you, like, from last year to this year, I've made a turn. So like, it's been interesting. Like going from just illustrating to, hey y'all, I'm doing a whole bunch of young kids, like young adult stuff, to like, okay, let's get back on track and try to redefine so I don't get stuck in just one sector of my work. I got so many other things I want to pursue. And I've just like taken a time to just get with people from different groups of different interests to see how like my interests and whoever's interest can grow and just connect.
Yeah, I love that. Such a good reminder about, just humans. All of the either customers or clients or collaborators are just people. And so they're just humans, right? And so it's all about relationships. It's all about connecting with people. And so the more you can do that, the more you can remember, like, if I can just, connect with people and meet people and do that, the better. That's great. Tell me what has been working for you.
Yeah. I will say I'm very inspired you guys for like having press and being in magazines and TV. I have actually not done anything like that yet, even though is going to be 8 years old next month. Baker and Moxie was actually the first podcast I ever did. So maybe I'm just like on the down low. Yeah, I kind of have this problem, I guess, where I just kind of wait for people to approach me about projects and I don't really like seek them out specifically. Maybe it's just a matter of me being really busy with my own projects as well. But that's definitely something I want to do more of in the new year is reach out more press and different ways to collaborate and just have more reach, I guess, especially locally. Like me and my partner who helps me manage Clammy Heart have talked about like reaching out to more stores and like getting our stuff more out there. And like we set up an account on Fair, so, like on wholesale and things like that. But our process as far as like designing apparel goes is a pretty slow one and sometimes to develop new things. And our like just our supply chain is kind of long from designing custom apparel, and then we have to actually do the illustration and the files for the embroidery and then the actual embroidery as well. So because of that, I'm sharing concept art on social media to be a really good way to keep people interested, because otherwise go like 3 months without posting any new products. So basically to like sketch new stuff, illustrate new designs, just like create concepts for new apparel that we might make in the future. And then by posting kind of like mock-ups of those items and seeing what people think of them kind of like helps us lead into a new direction or decide what we want to produce or not. And I've noticed that like within my sphere of sort of like apparel businesses on Twitter and Instagram, that type of like concept sharing or like mock-up sharing has been like really, really, really popular. I've seen some accounts that will basically post like a new fashion design concept like every single day and they just get thousands of likes, which I don't have that kind of output. I don't.
Yeah. That's intense.
Yeah. People just get really like excited to see like concepts of things that maybe they'll wear stoked on it. So yeah, that's what I've been doing. Yeah, just like garnering more excitement during our like slower periods, or if it's a period where we're working on pre-orders and our machines are running, you know, the same design all the time, like for weeks and weeks, because we've 100 or 200 units of a certain design pre-ordered. Sometimes the like creativity aspect can feel a little bit lower, just because it's not like stale, but you know what I mean? Like there's not a lot of opportunity to use the embroidery machines for anything else if we're running the same design all the time for pre-orders. So yeah, just sketching and designing new things and deciding like what items are popular enough to like bring back for future pre-orders, and also sharing personal anecdotes on Instagram stories and Twitter and stuff, and sharing things like my personal outfits and fashion. I think Wendy was saying that as well. Like my pets and my, you know,
stuff. Yeah, I love that. I think as well, like people seeing the all the steps of the process between the, you know, the right at the beginning of the concept of that idea all the way through to the finished item helps people get like so invested in that item, and then they're like, oh my god, like when I order that thing, I've seen it the whole way through. And then
they really do. They get
that thing in their hands.
There have been concepts that I posted like 3 years ago, and I'll still get comments on it like every once in a while being like, are you still making this? Are you still making this? Yeah. Think about this. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I haven't made it yet.
Yeah. That's awesome. They're like, yeah, get that sort of buy-in, get that loyalty, I guess, that brand loyalty. So to carry on from that question, and I guess we can stick with you, Penelope, to kick us off, I would love to know what your plans are for marketing your creative business next year, or what you're going to be focusing on in terms of marketing your business in 2024. What are the things in terms of you are going to be focusing on next year?
Yeah. So I know Renata was also talking about markets, and which we also did start going back to conventions this year. We had just barely started doing markets in 2019 and then obviously stopped for a few years. So this year we did 3 conventions that were all super successful. We flew from Portland to and to Milwaukee, Wisconsin for different events. And it was really amazing. Like I always take for granted how awesome it is to in real life that like recognize your brand and want to purchase something from you. And it's always really great to have people come up to your booth and be like, why are you guys here? Like, are you like, this is, so I never thought I'd see Clammy Heart here. And like them seeing our stuff in real life and just being like surprised at the quality and like how the embroidery and things like that. So we're doing more events next year for sure. A couple lined up for the spring. So definitely that is going to be a big part of our marketing. And then I also want to be more consistent with our email list, because right now we have, I want to say, almost 9,000 subscribers to our email list, which is great.
Amazing.
That if you don't send out emails, it doesn't really make a difference. So yeah, we send out emails like probably like months or so right now, which is not nearly enough. I feel like, I don't want to like blow up people's inboxes like every day by any means. We have a lot of products that just kind of slip through the cracks that like people don't really know about. And I'd like to just like push stuff out a little bit more, especially with social medias like coming and going. Like our biggest audience right now is on Twitter, but unfortunately a lot of people have been leaving Twitter, using different apps instead of Twitter, which I totally understand. We're Twitter because it's hard to leave an audience that size. But the fact that we can reach people still through email is like a nice kind of foundation, I feel like, to reach customers without relying on changing so much. And then, like I said, getting into stores and like having this potential like semi-permanent retail space, I think will be really good for us as well. Like locally in Portland, I feel like our brand has a lot of reach kind of like across the US and also internationally, but we don't really in Portland, like where we live. So I'd like to focus a little more on that. And it'll also be a place that we can host events as well and do like pop-up shops with us actually being in the store and selling the things, which I think will be really fun.
That's so exciting. Well, very... very strategic, very exciting, all very smart, and I can't wait to see how you do them and the impact that they have on your business. So exciting. Okay, who wants to tell me what their strategies are next?
I was gonna say this is so funny because I just text my friend today, like, I'm next week, by the end of next week, I'm gonna have my plan ready for first quarter at least. So y'all check in on me, y'all. Make sure, just DM me like, girl, did you do it? Sit down and do it. Okay. But like Penelope was saying, email, and I can consistently see results with email. It is literally just taking the time to sit down and do it, because it's just like, what do I write? What should the subject line say? The subject line is always so daunting. Like, well, it's because you want to do one that stuff people will open it, but you don't want to mislead anybody. It's just a lot. So I always am like really overthinking that part, but I know that email would be an amazing source for us. I really got to a point where locally I was just like, I'm done doing events, just because the amount of time and the investment into it, it's just like, I would rather put this work into my online spaces, like on my website, especially just into the blog, SEO, stuff like that. So that way, you know, work is spreading. But I think now that I have a employee, I can kind of branch out back into that a little bit and, you know, like train her and send her out into the IMS studio at the sewing machine. And so that possibility is really exciting. I also really want to focus more on YouTube this coming year. I think it'll be a better platform for me video wise, just because I'll be able to take up more space and more time. And I think that also my blog, I used to be really, really consistent with blogging, just blogging like about WM stuff only, just, you know, even like fashion history stuff, you know, shouting out friends or businesses as far as like, oh, it's holiday time, here's a shopping list, and being able to generate clicks for other people and generate, you know, traffic myself. Cause it's like, oh, I came here because you wrote this like blog about a Barbie fashion designer, but now I am looking at this dress and these other things, like, you know, being able to see that the customer travel, it's like, okay, you kind of need to get back to doing that. It's just carving out that time, but having a little bit more strategy about it. I had a mentor tell me, like, you know exactly what you need to do. You just got to create a strategy. So that's the part that I'm at, you know, like taking advantage of those slower times to don't be like, oh, I'm just going to like turn on Golden Girls and chill. Like maybe I can kind of work ahead and have those things ready and waiting in the queue to go off. So, but yeah, and also putting in the work for wholesale. Wholesale has been my Achilles heel for the last few years. And it's one of those things where the day that I figure it out and have like a real legit strategy for it, I know it's gonna take my brand to the 100th level. It's I'm literally stopping myself. So.
Yeah. It's a big hurdle to get over, but it'll be worth it when you do, for sure. Yeah, I am so sure that like long form things like blogging, long form video, newsletters are like big comeback. It's happening. People are craving it, and I've already seen people talking about it. I have never stopped blogging or sending newsletters, so I'm happy about it. I'm like, yes, everybody come back. I've seen so many people talking about it, and yeah, I think it's coming away.
I right quick too, I was gonna say, like, for New Year's, I don't know why I didn't do it for 2023, but for New Year's of 2022, I sent like Happy New Year's cards to just everybody that I had collaborated with. Like, thanks for making 2021 special. Thank you so much. Like, and that created so many amazing relationships for me. So I plan on doing that again. I just have to pick a design that's like the artist's hardest decision.
Yeah.
Like, which image is going to look the best? But even that's so simple like that, because I love getting fun mail. Bills are not fun. It's just kind of like
a nice little Christmas card or New Year's card. Just gonna pop this in the chat, but I know you as an example, Whitney, but Whitney is also great at email marketing, and did a case study. You're on mute, Whitney, so I can't hear you.
No, I was saying when I can remember to do it.
Yeah, when you can remember to do it. But Whitney has done a few, but has recently done a new case study with ConvertKit. So if you want to watch and learn, so email like you can watch the video and you can learn from. Renata, Maya, you want to tell me what your plans are for Marcus?
Oh, thank you. For me, I've been doing this like trend with my brand. So the past couple years, I've been really helping a lot of other brands and organizations really lift up, you know, their like visual branding identity and whatnot. So this is going to be the first year. Next year, I'm going to be like really heavily focusing on my branding about like how I used to when I was a graphic designer. So it's going to be super exciting to really relaunch like a nice website that I like really enjoy. to email lists and hopefully YouTube for me, I'm an introvert and I'm shy, but to me, I'm just like really excited to hopefully start doing tutorials or just giving, you know, snippets of like my everyday situation, like as I'm chaotically, you know, transitioning. Like I had my own studio. Now I'm like in a space right now, but I'm about to get into a bigger studio. And I feel like certain stuff like that is important, you know, to like discuss with people, but it's just like, hey, how do I show that? And it's just a matter of like, hey, let's focus on where to put it. You know, who, like, what am I sharing? You know, who wants to know what, you know, and just being kind of mindful of just how much, I wouldn't say like, again, I'm not oversharing anything, but it's like, okay, when I'm talking to people, I'm like, not just giving them like, hey, like, I just, something silly. Like, I mean, even though people would care, but I'm like, hey, I don't need to talk about this, even though I love this. it's just like, I have wonderful things in my life. I'm like, I don't need to show everything, but there are certain things that I do want to like share with people and just kind of like at some point follow that. But like with the website, email, YouTube, for me also, it's like panel talks for me, like for local stuff, panels have really been helpful with me, like engaging with the community, getting to know people who are just doing wonderful things around in Memphis. Cause for me, as I'm like bringing social awareness and talking about all these things, a very like, you know, broad from the people who I'm really trying to work with, you know, they're still in the, you know, they're still on the grounds and like, you know, dealing with the things that we're trying to address, like poverty and, you know, food scarcity and, you know, racial and religious like discrimination. Like these are things that I'm talking about in my work. And, you know, as I'm illustrating, I'm still trying my best to figure out, do I reach out to people to get the best results than just, not to say that my work is less than, which is not, like illustration and bringing awareness online virtually and like sharing awareness, seeing folks with knowledge and education is wonderful. But it's just like, I'm just trying to figure out how are the people I'm connecting to, the like, the healers, the providers, the protesters and stuff. I'm trying to see how they're, so then I can get to where they're going. I don't know. I'm like still, it's just been really awesome to just dig into these long platforms, because to me, I'm just trying to figure out like, what to do next besides just being like, hey, I'm just a cool artist who do these illustrations. Like to me, that's not interesting. It was interesting to me. It's like, how is this work is implied to where we can actually make change? And the change for me is like when I'm meeting up with people at these events and then I'm like, hey, let's do a workshop about this. So now all the artists know how to sell their work. Now, you know, we can do bigger missions and plays and stuff like that. So it's just kind of been a lot of trial and error on my end. So hopefully I'll start seeing results and we can check eventually. But by me just starting my email list, I've like just started. I'm not even joking, y'all. So but people have been giving me feedback. People have been telling me like, hey, I would love to like know more about this with you. And it's been awesome because the engagement has been very, very receptive. Seeing previously with social media, because people have been running away, people have been going away. So I'm just excited to see more results with all those things. So we'll see.
Exciting. I'm pumped to see when your strategy goes into action. And we can all subscribe to your YouTube channel. Specific question for one of these incredible illustrators and artists and creators. Feel free to do that now. Okay. Renata, tell me what your plans and strategies and machinations, what you are planning for marketing and growing your business in 2024.
Oh my gosh. We got a few things on the cards. So first off, I've been kind of making a little short list, similar to what Penelope was talking about. I have a good online presence, like internationally, it's a fairly strong presence. But as far as a local presence, it could definitely be stronger. It always surprises me a little bit how, like, I'll go to a convention or I'll do a table or, like, you know, even do a voiceover for one of my videos. And somewhat consistently still, I'll have at least one person tell me, oh, I didn't even realize you were Australian. Or, you know, if I'm doing a table in Melbourne, where I'm at the moment, they'll mention that I didn't even realize you were local, which I think is something that I need to address. So I am definitely going, I want to try to be more present locally with, you know, like I was saying, you know, consignment. I've got a little short list that I've got going of places that I want to tuck my cute little designs in. So that is definitely one of my larger goals for. As far as, you know, like a marketing strategy per se, I don't necessarily think of it as a marketing strategy as much as just a way to better connect with the people that are interested in what I do, and a better way to, you know, personally connect with, you know, my individual audience members. I really would like to show up more just as a person. You know, my illustrations, my art and everything is, you know, so integral to me as a person. And I've had so much fun sharing that, you know, over the past few years, and no intention of stopping that anytime soon. But I think I would like to be more intentional with the voiceovers that I do, how I share just my everyday life, who I am as a person. So people, I hope, you know, get to know me a little bit more, as well as the, you know, the fun and colorful and exciting art that I love to share. Because I think at the end of the day, if you have that personal connection with the people who are following you so closely, I think, like, that's more valuable than anything else you can really do. Yeah, 2024, whatever I can personally do to better facilitate that, probably more like voiceover videos is what I have in mind. But, you know, it's a strategy that, you know, you adjust it as you go, you try things out, you know, see what the feedback and reception is, and then you go from there. Really, that's those two things are the biggest thing that I have on the cards at the moment. Email, very important. I've been very cheeky. I have not sorted that out just yet, but do not skimp on emails, because it is incredibly important. So 2024, keep an eye out, I reckon.
Yeah, I reckon. I think you and Penelope can be on voiceover, team voiceover reels goal for 2024.
Yeah, we got this.
Yeah. Okay, awesome. Well, great. It's on everybody's part. Seems like there's definitely some crossover difference. In the meantime, I would love to know, while people are asking, I would love to ask some questions about, I know that Whitney, you have hired someone, and Penelope also has a team of people. There are people in the chat who maybe are thinking about hiring, or who have had some kind of help along the way. It's like, how did you know it was like time to hire somebody? And yeah, how did you go about finding somebody to help you?
I think for me, I just got to the point where I'm like, I am at studio 6 days a week, and sometimes 6.5 days a week, and it's not slowing down. Even though I could manage all of the projects that was coming my way, I did not like that. I felt like I was like gunning it every single time, like trying to like make a mad dash to the finish line every single time. And then also just physics, you know, sewing, I tell people, fashion is a contact sport, like it's hard on your body. And so to be able to kind of split that up and get to the point where it's like, okay, it's 4 p.m. and like we're done. That's such an amazing feeling. And when she became her intern, I just noticed how much more brain space I had. I wasn't forgetting things. I was at home before the sun went down. You know, those are things that are nice. I had time to roller skate whenever I felt like it. And so when it was like, oh, when she was like, okay, you know, graduation's coming up, what are you thinking? I'm like, well, just come on, you know, like, and mm-hmm. she's only with me 20 hours a week. And even in the years I've been full time since 2020. So when I've had huge projects where I've needed to hire help, like contract soloists, I have, but to be able to have somebody there consistently as well, to also be like, hey, are you keeping track of this, this, that, and the third, you know, to kind of be a second brain, because you can just have so much on your mind mm-hmm. at any time, trying to keep up with orders and supplies and inventory, and even just trying to decide what you want to have for breakfast that day is a lot, you know. So to be able to yeah. have somebody there, when I got to that point of like, okay, this is not being, I like to say being busy is cute, but being productive is glamorous. And I want to be glam at all times. it was no longer cute yeah. To like martyr myself, almost to like, huh, I'm an artist mm-hmm. and I'm struggling and starving to try to do these things. No, I ain't got to do all that.
No, for sure. So is she an employee?
Yes.
She's yeah, so you're doing full payroll, full everything.
Yes, she's, and so she started with me prior she was just a contract, because she would only be there for like 8 or 9 weeks. But she's been with mm-hmm. me since July. It's been going fine. Mm-hmm. She hasn't like okay. turned her keys back in and been like, girl, don't call me no more. So I think it's going okay.
Yeah, that's great. That's exciting. That's awesome. And how have you found, I guess, trying to be like manager with somebody else, how to yeah. do, or telling you know what? Someone what they have to do? And yeah,
it's a learning curve, because also part of it, it's got a couple of folds. I was used to being in studio by myself, so that's different. Because it's, in a way, studio, I kind of built studio to feel like the bedroom I wish I had when I was growing up. Like, it just mm-hmm. looks crazy. It's fun. It's popping. So it was really, and then, so it can kind of feel weird when you like, hold up, somebody else is in here with me. Like, so to kind of get over that. And then also like, yeah, okay, there might have been a day or two this week that I'm like, I'm not going to go in, but no, you have somebody that you're paying, like things, there needs to be tasks. And so kind of using my like community teaching background to like create plans of like, okay, this is what we're doing. This is how this is going to work out. A learning curve and the workflow, because like I said, I was so used to doing everything by myself that I will kind of, it's not a good habit, but I'll be like, oh, I'll just do it. Mm. And like, then what's the point of having somebody here if you're going to yeah. just keep all that to yourself and not, you know, being able to pass off the hems and the buttons and like the simple stuff frees up my time so I can have CEO hours where I'm working on the business. And I, and if I can't have those hours, then the business is not going to grow.
If not in the, let me think, what else can we talk about? I would love to hear about, Renata, you have gotten your work into retail stores. You were telling me about, so tell me about that experience and how that happened, has been like, I'd love to hear a little bit about that.
Yeah, absolutely. Locally consignment stores around, you know, for kind of like craft art, you know, independent creators. Personally, there's this one that I had been looking at for a while called Incubator, where they allow you to just rent out, say like a little cube space or like a flat mm-hmm. wall space. They pay you the entire amount of, you know, the proceeds.
Oh, that, cool. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So you just have to pay the rental fee. Mm-hmm. And it is something that I was looking at, I believe, around 2020. And then mm-hmm. like a little something, you know, put that on the back for a second.
Yeah.
But now that things are probably rolling again, I you know, they just have a little information online, which a lot of these consignment stores do tend to have, which you can peruse, see if it could be a good fit for you. Because my merchandise personally is, you know, like low price, easy to grab. You know, we're doing stickers, small prints. I have larger prints as well, but I ended up with just the smaller items, just to see how kind of like grabbable they can be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's how I initially started. So just approached them to see if they had a space free, which luckily they still did. And from there, it's basically the process of finding all the contracts that they need to get fulfilled, and then, you know, packaging items for retail display, which was absolutely a new experience from anything that I've done before. I will say I estimated a little bit. It took the initial push to get all of the different SKUs packaged with the little hang tags to make sure they're hanging nice on the wall display. Little branded stickers on the back to, you know, remind people what item has actually come from at the end of the day. All of the, you know, individual like plastic packaging to make sure your product is safe, display in case any, you know, spills or accidents happen in store. Mm. All of these little things are something that you have to consider, as well as the overall space that you have and how you can most effectively fill that with, you know, with your items, the kind of like, you know, centimeter by centimeter, inch by inch kind of space. Ideally, you maximize that as much as possible to fit in as much product as you can. So it was absolutely a learning experience. Like I said, I've never done a retail fit out before. So, you know, it was kind of just figure it out as you go a little bit. But it was also amazing. I have a few other friends who have done something similar. So I was able to, you know, slide into their DMs, just be like, hey, how have you done this? Which I think is such an underestimated thing for people taking on a new challenge like this as well. When you're in this kind of creative space, you always have, you know, creative contemporaries that are more than happy to just answer a simple question that might be keeping you up at night, but, you know, they solved it a year and a half ago. So that was huge help. Absolutely. To just kind of clarify a thing or two with, you know, some of my art friends. But yeah, that has been all set up, you know, just went in. They had all the little kind of rails that you put all your little items on, and I just, you know, set it up, put my sign up and everything as well. And yeah, they have this specific one has a back end as well where you can look at, you know, things selling in real time, which is
it's
such a useful asset in terms of like data and just seeing what are the best sellers, does that translate into in-person retail, what, you know, which ones aren't selling as well that I can maybe improve and move around as, you know, the days and weeks go on. It's been a wonderful experience. And it's really kind of encouraged me to, you know, expand my kind of like in-person retail space.
Mm.
So if it's something that, you know, anyone watching, anyone listening has kind of casually considered for their own business and merchandise, as someone who also casually considered it for, you know, months and months and months, I would highly recommend giving it a go. These kinds of things generally can be, you know, a month to a few months contract at a time. So it's not a large term investment, really. It's, you can try it out, you can review after a month or two. And if it's something that works out for you, then, you know, you expand from there. And if it doesn't work, you just take your products out and, you know, no harm, no foul.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that. It's such a good idea. And then, you know, you can decide if it'd be a whole retail shop like Penelope is, like, I'm going to have my whole shop is the plan for you, you know. That's the dream. And, yeah, I think that's so, so cool. And I love that they have that system that allows you to be able to see everything. Like, I know if you had your – that's probably something you have and you'd be able to see that. But I love that they have that set up for all their individual – artists and creators too. That's so cool because I'm such a like data nerd. Like, I love to be able to see, like, in my Google Analytics I set up tracking so I know like people came from this podcast episode to my website and they came from this email, so I know where everyone came from. So I would love that, to be able to see, you know, this product is selling the best or this is not. And like, I think it's so interesting.
It's really fascinating because I mean you can see things like what time of day, what what day specifically on the you know, heavy traffic, and yeah, individual items as well. Yeah, it's very cool. I don't know if all consignment stores have that kind of a deal, but you know, you try it out as you go, and even from the long term data that you eventually get, it's such a fascinating insight, and yeah, totally, absolutely worth the effort.
Yeah. Okay. Whitney has a question.
Yeah, I was just wondering, okay, I'm just curious because I'm sure all of us collect data and have a whole bunch of data in different ways. And Holly, even too, I would be interested. How do you all handle all of the data do you have? Because sometimes I feel overwhelmed because I'm like, I got all this really specific information and it's great information, but now what do I do with it? How do I implement it? Like, do you all have a process where you weed out like what you need, or do you just try to take it all in and see what you can use? Like, how do y'all handle all of that? I love data too, but sometimes I'm like, okay, now you're getting way too specific.
Yeah, it's, I mean, for me personally, I don't know if I try to pare back as much as I possibly can, just to kind of like, I don't want to lose the forest for the trees. So I am personally something to be a little bit hands off with the data. And like, I look for a new product that I want to make. I will look at illustrations that I've been posting recently. And then I'll start reviewing, you know, Tanner, who, if people are actively, you know, commenting and sharing that they really enjoyed, and kind of, you know, the analytics of how the posts themselves have done. I mean, you can always, you know, make spreadsheets and graphs and stuff. It's, you can really go into the weeds as much as you want. Yeah, personally, it's something I try to, because I try to be, you know, artist focused first. I try to ensure the content that I'm creating is good. And then from there, it's like, okay, this is something that I've really put effort into. Let's see how this has been received. That's a little take on things. But Holly, I know that you're very data focused. I'd love to take your take as well.
Yeah, I just focus on, like, it depends on what goals I'm focused on. So I don't track like anything and everything. There's a lot of data I could track, but I have like particular things I'm focused on or goals that I'm working on. So I track the data that to those goals. And yeah, I just have like a Notion spread, like a Notion table, or sometimes an Airtable. And I just track the data related to that. And so that just helps me see how I'm going in relation to those goals. So like, if I don't bother tracking, yeah, Instagram likes, if I'm not worried, like, yeah, likes on Instagram, if that's not a goal I'm worried about. But if my goal, for example, is like email list and it growing my email engagement, then tracking my open rates on my emails is something that I would track. So that's, yeah, that's how I do that. I don't know if that answers your question.
Yeah, Renata, you use Etsy, right?
Yeah, that's right.
I use Shopify for my business, and they have so much data that you can look at. I don't know if you've used Shopify or not, Whitney, but for all the different products, it will basically tell you like how many clicks each product received, how much revenue you've generated from each product. It will tell you like, here are your top products that people are viewing, but they're not purchasing them. So here's where you can get better SEO and that. But yeah, it's definitely looking, especially at like all their financial like graphs and stuff. You can get really, really, really nitty gritty. But yeah, Shopify is a big asset for me when I'm looking at data, because I can just export it into like a Google spreadsheet and look at the numbers like month over month, or like this year compared to last year, or like how many units I sold of this product versus this product and things like that.
Super helpful, absolutely. Yeah, and it's worthwhile. Like, it's like a monthly fee or something. It's in comparison to the amount of information you get back. if you want to get granular, Shopify is such an asset.
I'm just gonna say I agree with everybody. I'm just like I'm just like getting back on certain platforms, so I can't have much say when it comes to like storefront right now, because art stores, I'm about to start mine. So I think Shopify, from the videos that I've seen, has amazing capabilities of just tracking. That's been like the program that I've been like looking at. And then for this social media and stuff like that, for me, I look at like who and like where like these people are like getting my stuff. So it's funny because I'm from Memphis, so it's really been interesting to me to find out like people in the UK you know, besides like Memphis and New York have, so now I'm like digging and just trying to figure out like who's following me to get a better idea, and then try to see if there's for example, a lot of my stuff deals with like Blackness and like queer issues and stuff. Like it helps me be more mindful of like what are things going on besides like where I'm at. With email lists, I agree. I'm like, I need to see open rates because sometimes I'll do the, what is the testing? You know, sometimes I'll do the test where it's like the A and B situation. Yeah. And so I check that out and then I kind of figure out like how I should go about writing and whatnot. And for me, that's been, but yeah, nothing too extravagant on my end just yet. But I do agree, I think just using specific bits and pieces that we collect and not all of it is just so much less stressful. It's just less stressful. Just because I feel like sometimes certain information doesn't really translate like it should. Okay, if we're like scheduling a whole bunch of info and it performs differently on certain apps, it just kind of, sometimes you're just like, okay, I'm just gonna have to use my better like discernment, you know, on things, because it's like I can't obviously satisfy the fact my TikTok does well at 7 o'clock in the morning, but then Instagram does this, you know, it's just gonna have to be scheduled at the same time. But that's it. We'll see. Y'all check in back in with me so I can actually give y'all some like reports of it. But like, it's been really cool collecting data and just paying attention to like how people actually engage with the content out. I don't know. Like, it's not like you're just like putting stuff out into the void. It's like the thing we want to like not do.
Yeah. One thing I always try to remember, and I think you all seem to have a very healthy approach to social media and analytics and things, is just to focus on the analytics that actually matter, because you know, likes and follows and stuff are vanity metrics, but the things that actually translate are clicking on links and buying your products and booking as a service provider and actually engaging. Those are the things that actually matter, and actually more helpful analytics to look at than sometimes if people are liking something, even though that's hard to do sometimes, see that big number underneath your video or your whatever. But yes. Okay, we're at time now, so I'm gonna value your time and not run over, but I just want to give all of you a huge thank you. We will give you also round of applause. I want to say thank you. You are all incredible. Thank you so much for sharing your time, sharing your expertise, sharing your experience and your thoughts and your wisdom and your knowledge and everything. I'm so thankful. I've learned a lot. I've just had a great time catching up with you all and hearing how things are going and what you're focusing on and all of that good stuff. I'm so thankful, and I hope everybody listening and online here has learned a lot and has had a great time. And we're going to be uploading this hopefully tomorrow, if I can get my butt into gear, edit it and upload it for the 100th episode. Super exciting. But yeah, huge thank you for sharing your time again, and yeah, have a great rest of your day. Yeah, that's all from me.
Thank you so much for having us.
Been 300 episodes.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Congrats. Yeah, congrats.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yes. It was so awesome thank you to so talk much. About this.
Yes, so nice to meet you.
Awesome.
Yeah. Absolute awesome. Pleasure.
Yeah. Yeah, everybody go follow everybody. Obviously when I publish this, I'll put everybody's links, but go follow everybody, go sign up to everybody's email lists. But yeah, have a wonderful rest of your day, everyone. And keep creating, and I'll talk to you all soon.
Bye, y'all.
Bye.
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 Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Brand Your Passion and choosing to spend time with me learning all about branding, business, and all things creativity. You can find more episodes just like this one at makeitandmoxie.com/podcast. If you like this one, you can tap that subscribe or follow button so that you're notified about each and every new episode. And if you've got a spare second, please leave a review on iTunes or wherever it is that you're listening to this podcast, because I would absolutely 100% love to hear from you. If there were some helpful goodies in this episode for you, it would mean the world to me as well if you could screenshot that podcast player right now, hop on over to Instagram or Twitter, and tag us at makeitandmoxie. By subscribing, reviewing, and sharing, you're helping reach more creators just like you, so that together we can make the world a more creative place, one brand at a time. We can't achieve this mission without you, so your support means the absolute world. I will talk to you in the next episode, but until then, keep creating.